It's a Panthers pre-game podcast here, looking ahead to the weekend. I say our season opener. It's our season opener in the Challenge Cup. The one in the Elite League is just a little bit way away at the moment. But back-to-back this weekend, Friday night in Manchester, well, in Altrincham against the Manchester Storm. And then at the Motorpoint Arena on Saturday, Guildford Flames, 7 o'clock face-off. Tickets still available. Follow the links up www.panthers.co.uk. Really exciting to get the season properly underway in the Challenge Cup. And I'm going to come on to that about the season starting and pre-season to you, Greener, in a minute. But first of all, welcome to everyone. Dan Green, MC Ken O'Feast, and your match night commentator, John O'Bullard. Evening, gents.
Evening, Chris.
Evening, everyone.
Greener, how good do you think, you know, 3 weekends of pre-season, 6 matches, this is the more, you know, one of the most, I remember, weeks we used to rock up after one game, get straight into action, probably play 1-2 at the most. How good is pre-season being this long for, I mean, all clubs, it feels like, well, most clubs have been this long. Coventry, I feel, started a bit later, but some of the others, Cardiff, Sheffield, Belfast, I think, started a bit earlier. But how good has it been to have this much pre-season time and prep?
Yeah, I think it's great. Obviously, it seems like the league, you know, year on year, not just, you know, the Panthers, but like you said, everybody's, you know, getting a little bit more serious, a bit more professional, you know, doing things like you've seen our guys at Nottingham Trent, you know, the last few weeks doing all the testing. And, you know, like you said, when I was playing, that didn't really happen. We'd maybe have, you know, a week and then we'd play 2 games at the weekend and then we'd have another week and the first proper game would start. So I think it's good for players, you know, helps with injury prevention, you know, gives them more weeks building up to the regular season. You know, it's kind of like no excuses for anybody. Everybody should be at, you know, full speed, full tilt. And I think guys want to get here, get acclimatized, get settled into, you know, where they're living and the new league and living in a new country. So, yeah, I think it's really good. And, you know, I think 6 is probably the maximum. I don't think teams would really want to play more than that. But for me, I think sort of 5-6 games is probably sort of the perfect amount.
Ken, how excited are you for the home opener? We've been doing it, you know, in pre-season. Great crowds, great atmosphere. But now there's something truly on the line. How excited are you for Saturday?
I'm really excited. I was excited when I did the voiceover for the promo for it quite a few weeks ago that Sophie put out. Ages ago now. I was excited then. I'm really, really excited. Something proper on the line. I think we're gonna see this team, the process of them just getting together, bonding, gelling. We've seen that over the last few weeks, last 6 games. And yeah, really excited. Now there's something proper on the line. I love the fact, actually, that we're starting with the Challenge Cup, because I, you know, rightly or wrongly, I'm almost seeing that as an extended pre-season. You could probably shoot me down, but I am. You know, that's how I see it. And I think it's an opportunity to continue to make those tweaks and not get too high with the highs, not get too low with the lows, I think.
Well, it's an interesting question. And you do think that other teams will be looking at the Challenge Cup and saying, you know, we've still got time to get it right. You know, Danny Stewart, though, made a point early on, actually, to me. I pretty much think it was first game when we lost to the LQTR.
UQTR.
Yeah, knew I was going to get that wrong. I kind of said to Danny, I think, in my first question, what you think about defeat? Was it more about the performance? And he kind of came back and went, no, I want the NIC to be a fortress. I want it to be somewhere where people don't want to come, effectively. And he makes a fair point, doesn't he? I know what Ken's saying. It's not like you're going to lose league points early, and you can probably afford to lose a couple in the cup and still go through. But you flip that, and Danny's right. You want to start showing teams that they're not going to get an easy ride at the Motorpoint Arena.
Yeah, it's a competitive game, and there's a trophy on the line at the end of the day. So you do want to win those games. But I totally see Ken's point. And if you, for those older fans who go back a bit, like me, the Benson Edges Cup, if you remember it, or the Autumn Cup, that was always played in a group stage before the league game started. So you always had six or seven cup games before the league started proper. And we're having 6 Challenge Cup games before the league starts proper. So it feels like we've still got that build up to the league season. I think everyone will agree that the league is the most important trophy to win and to compete for, but that doesn't disparage the Challenge Cup any, because it's a trophy we've always done very, very well in. We've won it 8 times in the Elite League era. So you do want to go and win that trophy, but I do feel that these 6 games are not an extension of pre-season, but probably aren't quite as important as the league games, but they are still going to be intense competitive games.
And I think you make a good point. And the way I look at it is, you've kind of got that in your back. You know, when you start losing league points, you're struggling, you know. But if you lose a couple of league cup games, you've got that in your back pocket. I mean, it's not going to be as easy to qualify probably as in previous years. It's a very different form. Well, same format, but different group settings. But I think also, how great would it be, you know, Greener, to set the tone? You know, like Danny said, wants to win at home. We hear from Otto Niemann, and it went out on Panthers TV in the pre-game press conference. He said he holds this trophy in high esteem. So I think the point here is, yes, you've kind of got a snooker or two in your back pocket. I don't think that's the right phrase. You've got a card in your back pocket that, you know, if you lose a couple, you might be okay. But at the same time, you want to set that tone. You know, Panthers have come off pre-season. They've lost a couple of times at home. They've won once at home in the 3 matches. So how great would it be for the Panthers to turn up on Saturday, get a great victory, and set that tone early in front of the home fans?
Yeah, I think exactly what Danny Stewart said. I think, you know, we're obviously not going to probably win every game in the Cup, but we're not going to lose every game either. It's just obviously qualifying is the main objective. But I think if you ask Danny Stewart, he would probably would want to win every home game, and he won't be too concerned if we drop a couple away from home. That would be my view of it. You know, like he said, you want everybody coming into this building in the regular season already thinking they've lost before they've played. So I think if we can win, I don't know how many games are at home, but say 5 home games, but we only win 2 or 3 away, as long as we go through, I think that's fine. I think he won't mind too much if we drop a couple away from home. But I think even if we go through, he won't be happy if we're scrapping to get through and we lose a few at home, because I think it just sends out a bad message. So in my opinion, like Ken said, you don't get too high or too low, but I think he'll want to, you know, get maximum points from the home games. And then if we do drop a couple away from home, it's not the end of the world.
Ken, he made a point. I'm going to kind of, because we're talking about Danny, we can lead on to this. This interview will go out on Thursday as part of the Panthers TV show with Sam Hurst. And he makes an interesting point. I don't know whether I'll get the phrase exactly right, but I'll get the point behind it right. He used the words, he wants us to play with a bit more of an edge or a bit more of grit along those lines. So I pushed him and said, what do you actually mean by that? Do you mean by like driving the net, finishing your check on the boards, playing hard on the boards? And he said, yes, exactly that. So Danny's basic, and you know, we know Danny Stewart teams alike, and we've seen them in Coventry, and there's already evidence that this team has a bit of jump to them. And basically Danny is saying in this interview that he's relayed that message to the players that he wants to see more of that, and he wants to see that more often, which is really interesting to hear. He kind of, again, forgive me because it was a few hours ago we spoke, but he said something as well about, you know, I'm not calling for an out-and-out toughness or a tough guy, but this team can play hard, and picking up on those points that I said, going hard to the net, on the boards and everything. And I think fans can identify with a team like that, can't they, Ken?
Yeah, on Sunday, there was a moment fairly early on in the game, and the Eminem laid a beautiful check. It was a lovely hit. And for 20, 30 seconds afterwards, the Devils completely lost concentration. And within 7 seconds after they were sort of going after Niemann, and 15 seconds later, and we'd got an opportunity right on the doorstep. And you could just tell that little bit of jump there, the way, you know, finishing that check hard, a bit of aggression. There was a coming together of players, I think, afterwards, if I recall. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately, because I just don't know. It will never make sense to me, an official putting themselves right in that position in that moment. They should have just let him get on with it. But I think we were about to see something, and then I think it just got called for roughing in the end because the official was right in between the two players. But for those moments, Cardiff didn't like it, and we got a really good opportunity. And I fully think if that had gone in, that would have really set a different tone for the game. And I totally agree that every time in this preseason we have played with that bit of an edge, that feisty element, it just, good things happen. Energy goes up in the building. Energy leads to momentum. Momentum leads to success. So yeah, I, if that's what Danny's thinking, then I'm pleased to hear. I don't think, like I said, we've discussed it, debated it, chatted through it before. The days of an out-and-out enforcer, it's a waste of a roster spot. It's not where the game is now, you know, but a bit of an edge, well, there's still plenty of space for that. And I think if we can create space by knocking other teams off the game, by playing with a bit of an edge, then it'll be an exciting season.
Yeah, and some fans will give us pelters for this, because I'm going to go in agreement. And I've had these discussions face-to-face on WhatsApp, in Twitter DMs, you know, and I've had fans who go, we need a tough guy. And look, I feel like we've discussed this on the podcast before, but I will reiterate and I will stand by this decision. And you're right, Ken, the out-and-out tough guy has basically gone. You know, it's quite hard, I think, to find a true power forward, perhaps that we're used to, because a lot of them are probably in the NHL. I mean, they are out there and you'll probably see them, you know, develop in the elite league. But it's harder, I think, to find a guy that genuinely can not only, you know, play the game really hard and probably drop the gloves for a fight, but also finish right high in the point scoring charts. You know, an example of that would be John Craighead in his first 6 months at the club. I mean, John Craighead, those fans that remember, you know, for the first, well, almost the first season, was probably an example of a guy who could do everything. I felt that guy had the world at his feet and, you know, it didn't work out for him with the path that he took. And, you know, but that guy could have been a franchise player in Nottingham for many years. It didn't happen, but I kind of digress. But my point was, Jono, and seeing whether you agree, you know, I know you're a guy that you like, you know, you like the rough side of the game, but you also like to see the skilled side of the game. I genuinely believe and look down this roster and think, I don't want a tough guy. The argument about a tough guy is, you know, are some fans calling for a tough guy that can drop the gloves like McGrattan? Or are they wanting maybe a Felix Parre who probably puts himself about? But my point that I'm making, and just see whether you agree, if the players on your roster play big every night, don't get intimidated, finish their hits and do what Danny Stewart's calling for, go hard to the net, get in the dirty areas, then there's no reason why this roster, because I see people already saying, we're going to get out-muscled when we go to these places. They didn't get out-muscled in Cardiff. You know what? Cardiff played an intense game and Cardiff threw their hits on plenty of occasions and our guys got back up and went back just as hard at them. So I just think, you know, Jono, where I'm going with that, and I wonder whether you're in agreement, you know, if these guys play to that intensity that Danny wants them to go to do, you don't need a so-called tough guy.
I think the role of the out-and-out tough guy has gone. It's almost been eradicated from the game. Now, if you've got players who are prepared to drop the gloves when necessary, I think that's what you need or what would be good. But if everyone can stick up for themselves, stand up for themselves, and like you say, finish their hits, play with grit, play with determination, you don't need a tough guy as such. And the thing is, if you did have an out-and-out tough guy, who are they going to fight? Because no other team's got one. It's gone. I mean, I love a scrap. I love a fight. I love to see it. I love to see the rough stuff. But unfortunately, that part of the game has gone. And I think we need to start moving on from this debate now, because there aren't going to be any out-and-out tough guys coming into teams in the future, because the role has been pretty much eradicated in pretty much every league throughout the world, apart from probably the LNAH.
Yeah.
So I think if you can have guys who can stick up for themselves, will drop the gloves when it is necessary for them to do so, and to like you say, play with grit, finish their checks, I think you'll be all right.
Mm. And we should get somebody on. We should get like a fan on who's totally the opposite to us. I think it'd be a brilliant debate, because I'm all open to
that. I know someone like that. That's the one I used to play with. So
yeah. It doesn't begin with D. The name doesn't begin with D, does it?
No.
Oh,
no. CEO John Searson.
Oh, okay, you've named him. I'm not naming mine, but no, we should get them on. I mean, you know, joking aside, like, you know, I'm not coming on here and saying this person's wrong. This is what opinion is all about.
This is like, that's like the thing is, like, in high pot, you know, enforcers are no longer required in hockey. Change my mind. That's the sort of like statement, isn't it?
It's
like,
yeah, it is. I'd love someone to come in and argue with me.
I think the key thing that would be said is they're a deterrent. They stop people. And we had gags. He like fought once or twice. And I don't think there was, you know, I think we've still got the same number of injuries and bits and bobs and whatever. I don't think they are, because nowadays, if you, let's say you had someone like Gags, who's, you know, is, it can fight and tough. And one of our players gets railed into the boards, you know, and injured, or there's an issue, and then Gags decides, or an enforcer decides, right, I'm going to go after that. You're talking, Dops had just like finished their season. You couldn't just, you just wouldn't happen any, like the retribution, that sort of thing of dishing out this form of justice. And by the way, as I'm saying this, I'm not saying that, like, you know, that was a part of the game that was probably one of the things that attracted me to the game. But, and I'm sort of like in the process of kind of acknowledging and letting it go and kind of realizing that that bit of the game has gone, or it's not the same as it was. I'm not happy necessarily about that. You look back at some of those moments and those old videos of like Danny Stewart, you know, dropping the gloves in our building with Bruce Richardson. My goodness, I tell you what, it was loud. You know, it was atmosphere. But we're getting an atmosphere from a different thing now, and the hockey is, I think, better. I'm probably rambling a little bit there,
It's really interesting. I'm just going to throw it on the head to Greener, because I'm not sure where Greener stands on the debate, but I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate here, because it's, oh no, I make my point clear. But Greener, if you sign an out-and-out, and look, let's say you decide to sign an enforcer who can play a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you do that, do you not immediately, does that just basically, every team knows, do not mess. So if you actually think to yourself, right, I'm going to sign an enforcer for our fourth line. He's not really going to get me many points, but your fourth line's never going to get you loads of points. Although I say our line that's been our fourth line has been fabulous in pre-season. But yeah, you're a coach and you think, right, I'm going to waste a spot on a guy who basically fights for a living, but he can drop in with the odd point. Do you not then send a message to the nine other teams and go, you're never going to mess with us?
Yeah, I think you do. And I also think now, with 15 imports, you can probably, I don't want to say waste one, that sounds disrespectful, but like when it was like, you know, we used to do it back in the day when there was 11 imports, we'd have an Alex Penner or someone. So I feel
Weapon
like now there's 15.
Weapon X.
Say again, Ken.
Weapon X.
You know, now that there's 15 imports, you would think it would be, there'd be more chance of doing it, because, yeah, I mean, I also think if you sign one and announce it on May the 1st, all the other teams have all summer to think, like, oh, we've got a choice here. Sheffield have to think, do we sign somebody and do we do the same thing? It's like an arms race. Yeah. Or do we not do that and we just risk maybe getting bullied a little bit? But I also think there's a difference between, like, if they're just really tough, that's maybe not as intimidating. Like, I would be more scared. I mean, obviously, Cam Jansen was super tough, but I'd be more scared about playing against him because he's an absolute wrecking ball out there. Yeah. I don't think they have to be a super, super tough fighter, because you just don't fight them. You know, I'd just be like, oh, I'm not fighting him. I'm not fighting Brian McGrattan, because that's crazy. But with someone like Cam, you can't avoid it, because he'll just, you know, he's just a maniac out there. So it's like, I think you have to sign the right sort of person. But I do still think there's a bit of a place where, even if they're just there as a deterrent, like you see the name on the team sheet, you're coming into Nottingham, like, oh, they've got, you know, Cam Jansen, like, oh, this is going to be awful. You know, so, you know, I'm kind of split. Hockey's way better now. It's not as entertaining, but it's a way better standard. But I do still think having that one person that, when he's on the ice, A, gets the crowd out their seat, and also terrifies the opposition. I still think if there's a player out there that you think can do the role perfectly, then I do still think there's a place for it.
So you're leaning to a yes, Jono?
But I think the problem is, it is probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, there were juniors who were actually trained to be enforcers. That was their role. Their role was to purely go and fight. That doesn't happen anymore. So who's actually going to come in and play the role of enforcer when nobody's being trained to be an enforcer now?
It's a good point. Were you Brina or Ken?
No, I was going to say the other thing. So Cam, and you mentioned him, because that's who I was thinking of, as to if you could have somebody, and like you say, you put them into the squad. Cam actually brought so much beyond just being able to fight. He could fight, but you're right. You knew without looking if he stepped on the ice, because everybody in the building took an intake of breath, because he was, you know, if you watch his highlight reel that someone's put together on YouTube, and he just used to smash guys to bits on the boards. You know, that you'd be looking, well, I'm sure it would put people off the game, because they'd be looking over their shoulder, not because he was coming to fight them or do anything particularly dirty. Like, you know, it wasn't cheap in any way. He was just so tough and so intimidating without having to fight. But you're talking about, like, in my opinion, a once in a lifetime, like, Panthers play. He's like one of the ones you call out and you go, well, he did that. And realistically, before he came to us, he was earning hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, doing it in the NHL. Where would you go and find that character? That's my thing. I don't know. Does that even exist anymore anywhere?
I think Jono made that point. You're right. It probably doesn't exist in the way it used to. It's gone out of the game.
I mean, you look at McGrattan when he came here. I mean, Brian McGrattan had a reputation of just being an enforcer, a fighter. He came here and scored 20 goals. So he showed he could play as well. And I think that's probably one of the reasons he maybe came here, is to show that he wasn't just a fighter. He could actually play the game.
I think Ken made a good point about, like, the DOPS and that, though, as well, is like the way the game is now. If you were the only team that had someone like that, they would just get, like, I just think they'd just take penalties. They'd get, you know, one hit like Cam used to do, and he'd just get a 3-game suspension, and then, you know, he'd get in a couple of fights. He just kicked out. And I almost think, do you remember how Alex Penner was in the end, when nobody really wanted to fight him? As soon as he got on the ice, he seemed to just get a penalty every shift. And it's kind of like, because the game's gone the other way now, people would just be looking for him. Refs would just want him out of the game because he's just chaos. So I think it's a
good point. And you know what? But sports like that as a whole, Jono, you'll relate to this as a Forest fan. There's some famous tackles that Stuart Pearce used to do on Ted McMinn. You know, those sort of tackles, they just, you do them now, you'd be sent off straight away.
Going back further, I remember a game against Liverpool back in the late 70s where Larry Lloyd and Graeme Souness was going for a ball. They both missed the ball and they both basically went in two-footed at each other.
Yeah, and they'd be gone.
Got up and carried on. No yellow cards, nothing, no whistles, no free kick, anything like that. But if you look at that back again, it's absolutely brutal. They'd be both straight reds.
Yeah, I mean, in football, it was known fact, like a defender would get one on the winger early on to keep him quiet all the time. So it's not just happening in ice hockey. This debate could go on for ages. We'll have to make a special podcast. Right, but before we go, I hope you've done your homework. We did touch, because we've probably only got about 90 seconds each. So we did talk about 25 best moments, and then I kind of steered it around to indifferent or funny or strange moments. And we are going to ask for the public's help on this and, you know, to put their net thoughts forward. But who should I go for first? Ken, I think you've probably got one. Let's go with you first. Ken, something slightly indifferent, funny, quirky, whatever.
Well, I've got a couple, but I've decided I'm going to go for one that's not necessarily funny, but just is a night I'll always remember in the NIC. I'd have to call Steph Litchfield to give me the proper stats and the proper rundown, and he'd know more. I think he's still got the team sheet. He definitely still has the team sheet for it, and he'd be able to, if I messaged him now, probably within 20, 30 seconds, he'd probably send it over. But I'm pretty sure the scoreline was 8-2 and we beat Sheffield at home. And it was the year that we had literally just basically, AD just signed like the toughest squad we've ever had.
Give me a second, I'll find the game sheet.
Joel Lang, I'll tell you what, Joel Lang was in goal and we scored very early on and he fumbled one into
Jason Clark scored.
It was a fabulous night because it was like pick a mix of all the, you know, toughest players and we got the upper hand. We were going to win the game and it was just quality because we were just offering out Sheffield Steelers players all over the ice and there were fight after fight. And we beat them. We just battered them. And it was a great, great night. And I'll always remember that.
Absolutely. Greener, got anything from you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I won't pick this one because obviously I wasn't here and it was so long ago, but obviously the bench clearance with Sheffield, I'm sure, will be on most people's memory list. But the one I'll go for was when we beat Belfast in the Challenge Cup final, when we were down by 3 goals from the first leg. I think just because Belfast had already won the league, they'd beaten us in the first leg. And I think almost everybody just thought, you know, this will be over pretty quickly. They're obviously better than us. And, you know, it was a packed out building, just obviously, because it was the final. Obviously, we won it 4-1 and won it in a shootout. And I think, you know, not just because we won a trophy, but I just think the crowd that night, and I just remember no one giving us a chance. And then obviously coming back from sort of 5-2 down against the league champions on the night was probably the best kind of Challenge Cup win that I had when I was here.
Jono, did you find that game sheet?
Yeah, I've just put it in the WhatsApp group.
Oh, I mean, what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so we were 5-0 up at the end of the first period. And Sheffield got a couple back and we scored one in the second to make it 6-2. And then we won the third period 2-0 to make it 8-2. But I always remember Dave Sims saying about that game that was the one where he wanted to go home and kick the cat.
And we did score after 25 seconds.
25 seconds.
I remember it is because I did some commentary on it for Radio Nottingham. It might have been what we call off-air commentary. So, you know, it wasn't going out live, but we used it for highlights. But I do remember that those 8 goals are on an archive somewhere at Radio Nottingham. Right, we're running short of time. Jono, we'll go to you next. And if we don't get to mine, then so be it.
Yeah, mine is a personal one. It was the 2012 playoff final against Cardiff. David Alexander Beauregard scores with 7 minutes left and whatever. I'm in the crowd. We're going absolutely crazy. And when everything calms down, my mate Paul has got me in a headlock from the celebrating. And we sort of looked at each other as like, what are we doing? And he sort of let me go and we carried on. But yeah, that's one of the funny moments that sort of comes to mind straight away.
And finally, I need some help on this one. It was a game against Basingstoke, and somebody chased somebody across the ice. Was it Curtis Cruikshank?
Curtis Cruikshank, yeah.
Was it?
It was the first season of the Elite League. Give me a second. I'll try and find a game sheet. Keep talking.
It was the second season. I was playing for Basingstoke.
We've had this chat before, and I think you said you remembered, but something happened at the end of the game, and I have this vision of Curtis Cruikshank with all his goalie chasing someone.
He was chasing Brad Cruikshank. Basically, we called a timeout. We were winning 5-1. And we called, or there was a timeout, and I remember Mark Bernard saying, like, don't do anything stupid. There's a minute left. We're up 5-1. Let's just get out of here. Sure enough, puck drops. Our Cruikshank did something. He went to hit someone, like one of Nottingham's players. Curtis chased him around the ice. And then I just remember there was a big brawl by our bench, and Paul Moran came, like, diving into our bench head first. And that was a huge brawl ensued, but
you can just imagine them chasing. No, I'm the best Cruikshank. I'm the best
Cruikshank.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing was, Crooker came to Basingstoke the next year, so they played together.
No, it's the other way around. Crooker came from Basingstoke to Nottingham, didn't he?
Yeah, but then he went back.
Oh, did he? I don't remember him going back.
He came back for the next 2 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Memory doesn't serve me well there. Listen, we've had a great fun there. That's been a really good podcast. Not really looked ahead to the season, but I guess we've discussed some passionate things. So that's been great. But for now, thanks a lot for joining us. Don't forget the pregame show taking place on Saturday from 5 in Saltbox. We look forward to that as well. So see you there from 5 and face off at 7. It's the Panthers against the Flames.